I'm sure Nathan, today I'm going to talk about Modnet, which is a system for allowing modular extension to the network stack. The work was done in collaboration with my advisor Vic while I was at Princeton. So let me try to motivate the problem by talking about some key changes in the networking trends. So we have seen an increasing use of TCP for multimedia streaming, which is primarily because of the growing popularity of HTTP. And the proof is that Netflix and YouTube collectively consist of more than 50% of the internet traffic at peak times. We've also seen a tremendous growth of mobile devices, and Cisco reports that wireless and mobile traffic is expected to exceed the wired traffic by 2018. So these new trends pose some new challenges. For example, mobile devices would often see poor bandwidth connectivity and sudden hiccup in network conditions. However, the existing TCP stack has some limitations when trying to address those challenges. So let me go over those limitations quickly. So first one I'm going to talk about is the lack of explicit feedback to the applications. So if you think about the standard socket API, it sort of hides all the TCP details from the applications, which is good from a modularity standpoint, as long as you don't hide anything that's useful for the applications. However, things like RTT, congestion window, and basically packet timestamps can be useful for the applications to get a sense of what's happening inside the network. So since the OS doesn't give an explicit feedback, applications typically have to rely on some implicit mechanism. And one example is that a server can try to estimate the RTT by measuring the delay between when the connection was accepted and when the first request was made on that connection. However, these implicit feedback mechanisms are limited in terms of accuracy and recency of estimates. So that hinders the application's ability to get a sense of network condition and adapt according to that quickly. The other one is lack of control over the socket buffers. So the idea is that applications will typically have large socket buffers, mainly for performance reasons. And the rule of thumb used to be bandwidth delay product, but then you want to have a larger buffer size to account for things like scheduler delays and other performance reasons. So when you have a large socket buffer, and if there's a sudden network hiccup, it's difficult to go and change the content inside the socket buffer. So let me give you an example of a video streaming server. So if you have a TCP video streaming server, and the server sends a high bit rate video because the network conditions are good, and then there's a sudden network hiccup, it cannot do anything to the content that's inside the network socket buffer. So the third limitation is the lack of interfaces for customizing the stack itself. So since you have these new trends, new challenges, people might come up with better customizations of the implementation, but it's not really easy to implement those customizations. And specifically, things like better management of the socket contents, customization of timings and parameters are not very easy. So if you wanted to do one of those today, you will have to basically go and change the operating system or implement a new user level stack, or the craziest could be just come up with a new protocol altogether. However, they are known to be difficult because of adoption challenges, and also deployment is a big problem because the middle boxes typically can just block the traffic altogether if it's not the standard TCP traffic that it wants to see. So Modnet tries to address these challenges by loosening the boundary between operating system and the network applications. And basically what I mean there is we want to expose more control and more information to the applications about the network behavior. We want to strictly stick with TCP for practicality reasons, essentially the reasons I just mentioned in the last slide, which include middle boxes. And we want to provide the opportunity for low latency reaction. So specifically want to optimize for this case where if the network changes, the applications should react very quickly. So the Modnet mechanisms can be divided into three main categories. The first one is delegation, where we introduce the concept of user-level network modules, which can be used very easily for customizing the TCP stack. The second one is inspection, where we introduce interfaces for exposing the lower-level socket state. And finally, revocation allows the applications to modify the unsent content inside the socket buffer. So let me go into the details of these mechanisms. So first I'll talk about delegation, which is the mechanism for intercepting the sockets and customizing the stack using user-level network modules. Before I talk about the exact interception mechanism, let me give you a sense of what you can do using these user-level modules. So the first thing you can do is you can implement OS-like functionalities, which include socket buffer management. For example, if you wanted to implement the swapping of socket buffer content, you sort of not swapped in most of the operating system today. And I'll actually give you a use case why it's useful to do that in the next few slides. You can implement that using user-level modules. The second thing is that these modules are sort of reusable across applications. So if I implement a module today, which was an adaptive HTTP compression, I can reuse it across any application that's HTTP-based, and I don't have to change the application at all. And finally, they're composable, so if you have two interesting modules, you can compose them and get a new interesting feature out of them. So let me go over the details of the exact interception mechanism. So if you have an application, and then you apply this user-level module to it, what essentially happens is we take that application socket and map it to the module's file descriptor table. And that's where the name socket stealing comes from. And in place of that socket, transparently, we apply a new intermediate socket, right? And this socket is connected to another intermediate socket, which is again mapped to the module's file descriptor table. So this module sort of becomes this middleman now, and all the traffic is passing through that. Only it's much more powerful than all the existing middle boxes because it's not protocol specific and it's running on the same machine, so it can customize things like socket buffer management. And note that it's very easy to implement these modules because the interfaces for implementing is very simple. Mostly it's the existing socket API with a few new system calls. The second mechanism is inspection, where what we did was we overloaded this existing memory map system call in Linux for socket file descriptors. And when you do this mmap call using modnet to a socket file descriptor, you will now get a socket state structure in shared memory, which will contain interesting variables like RTT, last packet timestamp, and last acknowledgement timestamps, etc. One interesting technical aspect is that the cost of access is very low using this interface. There are existing interfaces to do this. I'm not talking about them in detail because of time constraints, but the main gain was that it's low cost because you have shared memory, so you don't have to do a system call for each query. And also the cost of access is low because we maintain atomic counts, so you don't have to take a lock for synchronization. And then we maintain the safety of access by maintaining a shadow copy rather than directly exposing the socket state kernel structures. And then finally, I'll talk about revocation, which is the mechanism we use for allowing the applications to modify the unsent socket buffer content. So we introduced this new system call called modnet yank, which takes a socket file descriptor and a user-level buffer, and then it yanks the specified amount of content from the socket buffer and returns it back to the users. So now the user application. So now the application can now have large socket buffers for performance reasons, and when they want, they can just yank and replace the content to react very quickly to the changing network conditions. So I'll skip the implementation details in the interest of time, but I'll encourage you to look it up in the paper. So first I'll talk about the overheads of module. So you get a lot of flexibility and this ease of implementation by implementing it in user space, but it of course comes with a cost, and I'll discuss about those costs in the experiment. Then I'll go into some interesting end-to-end modules that we implemented using modnet, and I'll see how modnet can be useful for exact performance of optimizations. And then finally, I'll evaluate the utility of revocation, basically the yank system call I introduced in the last slide, for more reactive video streaming. For most cases, our experimental setup would be as follows. We will have a server machine which is running the modified modnet Linux. We'll have some server application, and then we'll transparently apply a module to it, which means we won't change the application at all. And then we'll benchmark this whole setup with standard clients over a local area network. In order to shape the bandwidth for according to mobile traces, we use some 3G network traces, and we use the in-kernel traffic shaper in Linux called TC. So I'll go into the overheads of delegation now. So basically, what we used was a web server benchmark. So we used Nginx, which is sort of known to be a highly performant and scalable web server. And we benchmarked Nginx in isolation, and then we applied our dummy module to it. So the dummy module is essentially a module which doesn't do anything. It only transmits the data in both the directions. So we benchmarked this whole setup, and then we tried to see what's the performance overhead of applying this dummy module. And we had appropriate number of concurrent connections and client machines to basically overload the server and the network. So this is sort of the standard web server benchmark graph that many of you might have already seen. And on the y-axis, there is throughput in terms of 1,000 requests per second. X-axis is file size in note that it's in logarithmic scale in kilobyte. So essentially what happens is when the file sizes are large, you're doing more work per connection, so the throughput decreases. And actually, it becomes network bottleneck when there are more bytes, because most of the work is being done in sending those bytes over the wire. And on the leftmost end, the bottleneck is mostly CPU, because most of the work is being done in the connection setup and socket allocation and things like that. So when we applied the dummy module to it, we saw that for large files, of course, there is no overhead, because the only overhead we get by applying this module is in terms of performance and not any overhead in the network. But for smaller files, when the bottleneck is actually performance, we see a degradation of almost 20-25%, which is sort of the cost you're paying for this extra flexibility. Just for comparison, we included a third setup where we applied a loopback proxy. So we have an Nginx, and then we applied a Nginx loopback proxy to it. And then we benchmarked this whole setup. So this loopback proxy is somewhat similar in the sense that it's a middle box running on the same machine. However, it's not as powerful because it's, first of all, it's protocol specific, and also other reasons which I'm skipping in stock. We see that the performance of this loopback proxy is actually considerably worse as compared to the dummy module. And that's mainly because of some optimizations we performed in the implementation, which are mentioned in the paper. So now let me talk about an interesting module that we implemented, which was the adaptive image compression module. So what we did was we implemented, basically we have an application oblivious module, which looks at the HTTP traffic. And once it sees a JPEG image in the response, it basically compresses it according to the bandwidth estimate. So firstly, notice that we're using the Modnet's delegation framework for implementing this sort of transparently to the server. And we're using the passive bandwidth estimation mechanism using the inspection interface that Modnet exposes. So the exact implementation of this passive bandwidth is mostly it's a packet pair based estimation, and we look at the last timestamps and we try to estimate based on the spacing between the packets, not going into the full detail. But now I'll talk about the basically the dynamic compression scheme is that we adjust the DCT coefficients in the middle of the transmissions. So JPEG image is in this format where you have the DCT coefficients, and then you basically have the transformed samples. So we adjust the DCT coefficients to change the compression in the middle of the connection. And note that you cannot do it using any existing scheme, because most of the existing schemes will have to estimate the bandwidth in the beginning of the connection. They cannot do anything in the middle of the transmission. And the experimental setup is very similar to the last one. We have a web server which is serving images, and then we have clients. So in this figure, we basically show you the download time of images that we took from BBC homepage. And then we try to run experiments over them using some real 3G network traces. And these numbers, these Mbps, are the average bandwidth of these traces. So the download time, we see that it almost linearly increases or is growing rapidly as the bandwidth conditions get worse, which is happening in the figure as you go from left to right on the x-axis. So when we applied the JPEG compression module, since it's adaptively compressing the images, we saw that that the download times are basically under an acceptable bound. And the main thing I want to emphasize in this figure is that the overhead of the performance overhead is not really a big concern in the realistic situations. And then we repeated this experiment for several other image data sets, and we saw similar results. So one important question will be, like, since you're doing this compression, what's the result on the image quality? Because that's also an important thing. And we have some numbers in the paper about those. The other interesting model we implemented was swapping of socket buffer content. So in order to give you a use case for that, let me talk about a dynamic content generation server. So for example, a PHP-like server, what it will have is a set of worker threads which will take connections one by one and process them, and then pick up the next connection. And in this accept queue is basically the connections being accepted and put into the queue before the threads process them. So let's say there's a workload of slow and fast clients. So slow, basically I'm talking about the network link of the client. So if the client is slow, what will happen is that when the even if the thread generates the content very quickly, it will eventually get blocked on the send call. And that will happen for other slow clients. And eventually there will be few fast clients which will be processed very quickly. But then finally, again, the threads will essentially go and get blocked on the send calls. So eventually, most of the times, most of these threads will be blocked on send calls. And even though there are fast clients which can actually be processed, the system is under in a situation of underutilization. So one thing, of course, you can do is have very large socket buffers so that you don't ever block on the right calls. However, that will have considerable overheads in terms of memory at the server side. Then we basically implemented socket buffer swapping, where we swap the socket buffer content to SSDs. Since the connections are already slow, the extra latency hit you will get due to this swapping is not considerable. So we swap it to SSDs, and we do that transparently because we have this nice delegation framework. And for the experiments, we basically use this dynamic file download with mixed workload of slow and fast clients. Before I talk about the results of this swappable socket buffers, let me talk about how Modnet actually helps here. So firstly, note that OS-like functionalities like socket buffer swapping can actually now be implemented in user space using this module framework. And you can, since it's a nice abstraction of a different process, you can basically have appropriate privileges, resource limit, and scheduling numbers for specifically these critical processes. And for example, in this case, if you have a swap region, you of course want to have a specialized privilege for that swap region. You don't want any application to go and see what's in the network socket swap region. And then inspection helps us to decide when to offload. So if the client is already fast, you don't want to offload the content to SSD in that case. And finally, you can use revocation. If the client was already fast but suddenly gets slow, then you can basically yank that content and swap it to SSD to save memory. So in this experiment, you see the throughput of a web server on the y-axis in terms of connections per second again. And on the x-axis, you have the aggregate bandwidth of slow clients. So note that the throughput is actually bound by the number, by the bandwidth of the slow clients, even though we have some fast clients in the system which can accept the content at a much faster rate. And that's basically happening because of the threads being tied to these slow clients. So when we use swap module, we free those threads, and we see a considerable gain in the network throughput for this leftmost case. As the bandwidth of the slow clients increases, the disk activity starts increasing, and then at some point, SSD starts becoming a bottleneck. And finally, on the rightmost end, when most of the clients are fast, you don't actually want to swap anything to the SSD, and that's the regular setup. So deduplicating socket buffers is another interesting module that we implemented, where we had what the use case is that you have templated dynamic web pages where most of the static content is actually the same. A small portion of the page is actually changing, right? And so there's a lot of near duplicate content which is being stored in these socket buffers across different connections. So what you can do is you can deduplicate that content and reduce a lot of memory pressure by deduplicating it. So the extra cost you pay is in terms of the the CPU cycles that you're using for deduplicating that content. And we implemented a module where we transparently, we look at the content, and we did some kind of a Rabin fingerprint to detect where the contents are exactly duplicate, and then we only store it once instead of storing it multiple times. And this figure shows you the memory usage when we have a large number of concurrent connections. And we saw that in the native case where we are not deduplicating things, the memory ramp up is very fast because a lot of duplicate content is being saved. And with deduplication, you save a lot of memory, almost 7x on the rightmost end where you have a lot of concurrent connections. Finally, I'll talk about the HTTP live streaming, where we use the yank system call for yanking the content in case the network bandwidth suddenly drops. So HTTP live streaming basically works by having an index file, and the client tries to get the next video segment based on its network estimate, bandwidth estimate. And in this case, what we did was the server also observes the network conditions, and it truncates the video segment. If it using modnet, it tries to estimate the bandwidth, and if it sees that the network conditions are getting worse, it just truncates that segment and sends the rest of the video content in the next segment at a lower bit rate. What we can also do is we can yank the content inside the socket buffer to actually truncate even more and get better reaction. So again, you use inspection for estimating the conditions, and you can use revocation for better reaction. In this figure, we see the download time, it's the rebuffering time, which is basically the time where the client doesn't have any video fragment to show, and that's the irritating time where we see that rebuffering happening. So this is the standard adaptive video streaming setup. When we applied the truncate, it sort of reacts more quickly and the rebuffering time is less. With yank, it's even it's the best, and we saw that almost 2 to 5x reduction in the rebuffering time for the network traces that we used. So to conclude, Modnet enhances the operating system network API. It introduces new mechanism for delegation, which enables a user to write customizations to the stack very easily in user-level applications. And finally, and we also introduced inspection and revocation interfaces to allow better control and insight to the application as well as the modules. And finally, we evaluated some of the interesting use cases of Modnet to prove its utility. Thank you. And some of the source code is available on this site. And you can contact me at myfirstname@gmail.com. Thanks.
So I had a quick question, which was a sort of, you know, you talked about injecting some computation at the network level.
Yeah.
Did you run into any issues with either clients, you know, that or maybe clients that were expecting some kind of other application sort of data size that maybe it caused some compatibility issues with clients at all?
So yeah, so most of our experiments, as you see, is based on HTTP clients, and we didn't actually see any such action. Like one thing to emphasize here is that there are some, like including HTTP, there are protocols which are sensitive to end of the stream. So if someone closes the connection at the application, you should actually close the connection on this other socket as well. Thank you.
Dave Anderson, Carnegie Mellon. So I'm all for extensibility, but why don't we just get rid of the TCP stack and merge all of this, that stuff into the application? Like DPDK, raw packets directly into the application, forget about the kernel. Kernels are evil.
Yeah, I mean, we should be more concerned about the practicality of the solution right now.